James Garner was handsome, but he had those rugged...
It was an everyday handsome. It wasn't like movie star handsome.
Right. They better keep
didn't have a huge hog. Don't you remember that video that got out of him?
Who?
David Brent.
Yeah, I didn't know. I never saw
that. Yeah, it was released by his one of his girlfriends, like, leaked a video, and he's got, like, a, you know, Fuji bottle down there.
Oh, really?
It's squared off.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, it's squared off.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. I want to thank our guest last week, Mr. Scott A. Young. I hope at least a couple of you tried the audiobook or ordered the print version on Amazon. And last week we did, for the first time, and I don't know when the last time we did it, so I'll just say the first time we did a live. We normally do Radios in the Dark for Patreons only, but we invited everybody in. And I watched it again over the weekend, and I really thought it was fun. So we're going to do more of that. I'm starting to get that that cold that's going around. Either that or the pollen is already coming out. Have any of you noticed this?
The pollen's already starting.
Are you bothered by pollen?
Not me, but my wife is, and she noticed it a couple days ago.
Yeah. Once I started seeing the flowers and the blooms and stuff, I'm like, oh, here we go. I got to go get my Flonase.
He's got allergies. He's sneezing like crazy.
Jeff, you don't get allergies, do you?
No.
That's weird, because we're from the north. How about you, Lizzie?
Nope.
Yeah, you people with your perfect genes.
Me and Jeff are superior.
You are. You should breed.
What, like breed?
IVF, of course. I wish I was as healthy as RFK. Did you guys see the video of RFK Jr. and Kid Rock working out in jeans in a sauna?
I've never seen him do anything like this.
Yes, it's French gay porn.
I've never seen anything like this.
Yes, that was hilarious.
It was hilarious, but it's also a little erotic, maybe?
Gay. Yeah, dude, that looks totally gay.
Oh, yeah.
A little more so than, you know, like, I don't know, maggot people might be into. We get in the room, and I wanted to show Kid Rock that he could take his little pigeon body and make it as... rigid as mine, and then take an ice bath in jeans. Why were they wearing jeans? Was it to conceal their erections?
Or their lizard forms?
Yeah, that's true.
To conceal your erection.
Maybe it was like a last-minute workout. I don't know.
Well, we want to show America how to be healthy.
As he does another line off a toilet seat.
Yeah, well, hey, man. The reason he brought that up is because... what's his name? Theo asked him about, you know, 2020 when everything was locked down and RFK still wanted to go to his meetings. So maybe he's not doing the coke anymore.
Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Well, he's not as messed up as Jeff's cousin, Shia LaBeouf. You got to be related to him somehow. Have you seen what this guy's doing?
He's partying in Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and he got beat up. By like a bouncer or something, and then he get arrested. And the minute he gets out of jail, he goes back to Bourbon Street on Ash Wednesday and pops open a beer. He's partying again. So this guy has a death wish or something.
Yeah,
but isn't the party over on Ash Wednesday?
Yeah, but there's more room, I guess. I mean, they don't shut the bars down.
All the Catholics are gone at that point.
Yeah, the Catholics are.
He is Catholic now.
Well, I think he went back on that, didn't he?
I don't know. I don't know.
Flops on just about everything.
And it didn't work out with him and Mia Goth.
Yeah, and she's worried about him. And if she's worried about you, might need to look into that.
Well, you got to feel bad for a guy like that, you know? He was in holes.
Growing up, yeah, he was in holes.
You see what I did there?
In the Transformers movie.
I feel bad for all the child actors out there, I think.
Yeah, you think he got Epstein'd?
I'm sure there's tons of trauma there.
Yeah, his dad was an asshole.
Oh, his dad was?
What? Yeah. He was like abusive and like a stage dad.
Ow.
Where he wanted to be famous, but since he couldn't, he was making his son do it.
That reminds me, I got all those auditions for Gil. I thought about that. I really did, but everything's AI now. Also, I wouldn't want to put him through that. And how do you make a three-year-old or a four-year-old act, a little kid act? And then you become the parent, you know? It's like, I would be the parent that never leaves his sight because I don't want weirdos getting near him if he was an actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the only way it works for child actors to grow up in a safe space.
Yeah.
Is if their parents don't whore them out.
Yeah. And take all their money. You just put mm-hmm. all in the trust. So when they're 18, they can have it. You know, keep a little 10% for your mortgage. And then when he's 18, I'll be, what, 68? So if I'm still alive, that would be great. I can go live at the, what's that place in Florida where all the old people live and screw all the time?
Villages.
The Villages. Yeah, the Villages, yeah.
The MAGA people. They're all MAGA and they all screw all the time.
Yeah, I know a couple that lives there.
Shaq was just looking at places down there.
Why?
I don't know. It says he wants, that's what he wants. He wants to retire there.
I want to have a lot of sex with old ladies. Put Krispy Kremes on my dick. I can get 20 of them on there.
He owns that Krispy Kreme on Ponce de Leon. I love Shaq. You know why I love Shaq? Because as soon as he got out of the NBA, he realized what he had to do. I mean, he's good commentating and stuff, but he's just a king of endorsements. He's so smart and so good with his money. Doesn't he own Papa John's now?
Yeah, he owns a bunch of Papa John's.
Yeah. Smart dude. He's not like Barkley buying lottery tickets at the Exxon Monroe. Telling me to clean my car. And then the last time I saw him, he was just, you know, wandering around Publix, you know, no one saying anything to him, but he's looking around like somebody's going to say something to me and I'm going to have to tell him I don't feel like talking. Because that's what he does.
Did you guys do anything for Valentine's Day?
It's Tim's anniversary, Valentine's Day. So
yeah. That's fun.
Anniversary nookie.
That's right. And then I went out and bought two steaks at Whole that were
Whole Food steaks? Jesus.
Now they were only $35 for two big, thick New York strips.
Also, you cooked dinner?
Yeah, I cooked dinner.
That's nice.
On the weekends. It's really the only time I have when we're all together.
Oh, I thought you were doing it for Valentine's Day / anniversary.
Well, she likes steak. And she my wife likes New York strip. And then I sliced up mini portabellas and, you know, do the onions crispy. And then you have the onions and the mushrooms for the steak. And then I got a little blue cheese crumbles to put on them because I like that. And
you're naked with just a chef's hat on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then she looks down. She goes, "Whoa, you missed a mushroom." But other than that, you know, Gil had a good Valentine's Day. He got cards and stuff from all of his friends. How about you guys?
We always get like presents for the kids. I got some flowers and then we went to a new brewery that opened in Snellville with my sister.
Nice.
And her family and just hung out.
Was the beer good?
Yeah, it was pretty decent. It's called Crooked Can Brewery. And they had live music and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Nice. So that's the thing with us. We don't do the 14th, besides being your guys' anniversary, it's also our oldest son's birthday.
Oh, wow.
So every Valentine's Day is usually just, you know, a birthday day for him.
Jeff, did you have a special porn star for Valentine's Day? Or just a Reddit? You know, like an amateur. Are they considered porn stars if they're on OnlyFans, or are they OnlyFans influencers? I don't know how it works now.
I mean, I would think they are by definition, right? I don't know.
I don't know if they're not doing porn and they're just, you know, making, I don't know. We don't need it. This isn't the porn show.
I don't know. I've never been on OnlyFans.
What?
As a customer or?
Either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me neither. Never looked at it ever. Never. I don't know.
I have a niece that sells feet pics on OnlyFans.
Genius. You don't have to get naked. How much does she make?
I don't know. I've never asked her, but it's funny because I think I've told you guys this. Like, she'll throw on socks or shoes if pictures are taken.
Uh-huh.
Because she's like, nobody's getting these for free.
You got to protect the assets.
Yeah.
Does she sell the socks? Because that's also a good way to make money.
I don't know. I'd have to ask her.
Let's get her on the show.
We're not going to get her on this show and ask her about
I'm not getting my niece on the show to talk about her feet pics.
I'll message her on her OnlyFans.
No, she can wear socks and not show her face. And then
just have the feet.
Like a sock on her feet. A sock puppet. What else is going on? Did you guys watch that movie Eddington?
The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian in it?
Yeah, and Ari Aster directed it.
Oh, yeah, about like Joaquin Phoenix, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I did watch it. Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect. I know Ari Aster directs weird movies, or not, they're not weird, but there's always something interesting about them or off. Midsummer was the first one I saw that he did. That was a good movie, I thought. But in this one, it kind of starts out where it's like set in 2020, so there's COVID stuff going on. There's Black Lives Matter stuff going on. It's like everything that was causing people to fight each other in 2020, that it's all dumped into the first hour of the movie. And it starts out being a film where you think it's just the two of those guys, the mayor, who is played by the Mandalorian, and then the sheriff, who's played by Johnny Cash. You know who I'm talking about, the actors. I'm just having a hard time tonight. Joaquin Phoenix. And, you know, there's weird stuff going on. It's all set in this town. And then typical Ari Aster, by the third act, it just goes off the rails. And I sort of got pissed off and quit watching it. Also, I was tired, so I had to finish it the next day. But it's a real interesting take on what happened, how things like that happened, how the algorithm and tech companies kind of combined together to make us all fight while they do whatever they want to do. So everybody in one silo and everybody in another silo, they're fighting about this, they're fighting about that. But meanwhile, the tech companies get whatever they want. And in this case, it was a data center in the town. And I'm not spoiling the movie, but you have to watch it and see. And then it brings up another point. I sent you guys a TikTok from Tom Green. And, you know, those things sort of coalesced with me at the same time. I watched the movie and then I saw Tom Green talking about, you know, if you don't talk about certain things, and we've been talking about this a lot because we used to get a lot more views. Not necessarily. We get a lot of people who watch the whole show. But, you know, we would get sampled or we would get pushed. But we don't talk about the things they want you to talk about, which are things that keep people fighting each other, right? And if you watch that Tom Green TikTok, and maybe you could link to it or show a little clip of it without getting in trouble, but he had a lot to say, and it makes an awful lot of sense. You're not talking about Juan Epstein's list and all the notes he got from his mother to go to that island. We're not talking about – well, we're just not talking about the things that, you know, you see pushed all the time, the algorithm, to make you feel one way or another. You know what I mean?
If you make money off of YouTube or any social media, you want clicks, and the only dedicated way to get clicks – is to push what the machine wants to push.
And right.
For us, yeah. It sucks because, I mean, we get views, we get them a lot more organically because we do of the interviews and stuff that we do, but we don't get pushed by YouTube unless that specific show has a title that makes people scared or angry or confused. You know,
right.
And
right.
It's sad that that's the state that we're at, where that's what's being pushed only.
That's like last week when Bad Bunny and the Kid Rock show came up. I was like, no, it's just a way to divide us.
Yeah.
It's still a way to
make money.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Olympics are rigged.
You think so?
Have
you been watching them?
No. Oh. That's the title of this week's episode, though. So, okay.
What happened to the Olympics? You know, put a weather map on it and go, this storm is going to change everything.
Yeah. Did you guys watch Rogan with Roger Avery?
No.
He was on there, and what he did, which was kind of interesting, when the AI thing started going, he bought an AI studio, started a company of it to make AI movies. But what's I find hilarious about it, he didn't have to explain himself. The money just started rolling in from investors.
Really?
So that was his thing. He was like, yeah, we're an AI movie company. We didn't say how much we were going to use the AI.
Right.
But in order for him to get money to make his films that he wants to make, he's getting investors just because it has AI in the company.
Damn.
Associated.
So he's getting money.
That was it. And that whole interview, by the way, really cool. That guy's a really interesting dude. And you can kind of tell how much Quentin leaned on him for writing. Because I think that's where most of Pulp Fiction came from, was him.
Well, Quentin wrote all the N-word stuff.
Well, he wrote the dialogue, but as far as the story and putting the characters together and how the movie flowed in the Quentin Tarantino way, that was originally Rogers, because he agreed to make Pulp Fiction with him if he would make his French heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't do as well, but he's got some really interesting ideas about everything.
Well, that scene in Pulp Fiction, speaking of that, where they go to Quentin Tarantino's in the film, and that whole dialogue when he asks him, did you see a sign out front that said dead storage?
Right.
And then that whole point, I get cringy when I see that. I don't get cringy a lot when I watch things, but that really cringes me out because I don't understand how it adds anything to that movie.
I always thought, even at the time that it came out, that it was him trying to write himself talking like someone from the streets would talk,
mm-hmm.
of where he grew up and what he heard and what he grew up around, because he grew up in a predominantly black area when he moved out to L.A.
Yeah, and his mom was dating an African-American guy, and he grew up around a lot of...
Right, he heard a lot of that, and that was... And at the time when that came out, that was... It didn't take you aback as much in 94 as it does now, but you can say that with a lot of things. I mean, half those Jason Paragon videos are about how, you know, looking back, time is makes a big difference now when it comes to what we thought was normal.
You could show this movie to somebody. I can't do his voice, but that's how they usually start, but you're right. I love Jason Paragon, by the way. And you guys were talking about him earlier in a text thread. And I didn't know what you were talking about. Jeff texted, where is, what's this guy's name? Farto?
Bum Farto.
And I didn't know what you were talking about because I hadn't seen that one yet. It's his most recent video. But that's why I like his channel. He just brings these things up. And I've tried to reach out and email and stuff, but I don't know that he does a lot of interviews. But I just think he's a fascinating dude. I'm reading the books and...
Yeah, I've never seen him on a podcast or anything.
No. Yeah, he won't accept my message request on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that he's probably getting a lot, especially with his all his talk stuff getting so popular on Reels.
What if we left it in the comments?
He doesn't reply to his comments.
He doesn't. I've looked through a lot of them, even the original ones like he first started off with, and none of them have a comment in them.
But I got to respect that he just, he drops it and leaves. He drops it and leaves.
That's his deal. Honestly, I'd be extremely surprised if he did, because that just, his personality just seems like a very, and the more he describes himself, it's crazy because, you know, I got a lot in common with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nuts how he grew up very similar to me.
You guys excited for the Rockford Files reboot that's being shot in Atlanta? At least a pilot is.
I think he's too pretty to play Rockford. But.
Well,
he's a good choice to play Rockford, I think.
I kind of agree. At first, I was like, well, who are they going to get? James Garner was handsome, but he had those rugged...
It was an everyday handsome. It wasn't like movie star handsome.
Right.
They better keep have a huge hog. Don't you remember that video that got out of him?
Who?
David Behrens.
Yeah, I didn't know. I never saw
that. Yeah, it was released by one of his girlfriends, like, leaked a video, and he's got, like, a, you know, Fuji bottle down there.
Oh, really?
It's squared off.
Yeah, it's a cube.
Yeah, it's squared off. That's a tough one. You got to find a special lady for that. I don't know. At first, I was, why are they doing this? But I think that the showrunner and David actually love the show, so I think they'll do their best. And I hope that it succeeds and that they keep it right here in Atlanta because, you know, the jobs are good for people in Atlanta. By the way, I'm not bothered by the Vanderbeek family doing a GoFundMe. I don't know why people are upset about it.
I think it was a knee-jerk reaction to that stupid website that people tend to lean on, that networth.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really means nothing.
No, I know it means nothing. It's, yeah, it's got Tim in there at like 1.5 million or something.
Yeah, I ain't worth that. Not even 0.001%. But they had this article on Yahoo. It was the Vanderbeek GoFundMe controversy reveals five types of Americans. And they left out the one that matters most, and that is the number six, trolls. Because if you're on there bitching about it, the guy died and he'd been fighting cancer for a long time. He was able to get a ranch for his family before he passed away. And, you know, if people are willing to give money.
He's got four kids?
Six.
Six. Okay. Yeah.
He used all of his money to buy that that ranch, and then just to get into the ranch and get it set up. Right. And then he was, you know, sold off all the memorabilia, had no insurance because, you know, actors, you only have insurance when you're working.
Right.
And if you're not working, and he hadn't been able to work because of the sickness for a few years, yeah, I mean, all plus all the money it costs for that. And the big thing that I didn't know, and a lot of people didn't know when they were bitching about this, was he had no residual rights from Dawson's Creek.
Mm.
None. So he never made a dime after he walked off the set.
That wasn't retroactive, the strike?
He had a shitty... He had a shitty contract or agent when he got signed on for that show.
It was the CW. It wasn't like a real network.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And so the contract was bad, and it just didn't have a clause in, and he could never get it retroactively put in. So other actors still made money off that show, but the star of the show never did.
And that was in the era of when things would come out on DVD, so he probably didn't make any money off of that.
No, nothing.
What was?
Yeah, people need to keep his name out of their mouth.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, what's the big deal? If they want to put up a GoFundMe, and if you don't want to donate it to it, just don't donate to it.
Right.
Yeah. Who are you to say who's deserving of it or not?
It's because people use GoFundMes now as a political tool or a social tool.
Yeah.
They point it in a direction. I mean, you saw it with, you know, everything that happened with the ICE stuff and all that. They're just, it's people donate out of spite, and which blows my mind. Which, you know, that could be a Jason Berrigan video.
Here's my money.
Yes.
And then I'm going to show everybody else that thinks this is a bad idea how much I've donated to the thing they don't like.
It rubs the lotion on its skin and then it apologizes 30 years later.
Silence of the Lambs, the actor who played Buffalo Bill, James Gum, he admits, this is the headline, movie's handling of gender identity was fucking wrong.
It was fucking wrong, man. I'm going to read text impressions by Tim here. Hi, it's Ted Levine, Buffalo Bill from the Silence of the Lambs. Turns out wearing someone else's skin is not the same as understanding gender. My bad. I apologize for the confusion, the bad optics, and frankly, the terrible PR. Lesson learned. Talk to great big fat people. Don't monologue in your basement or else it gets the hose again.
I don't understand why that's an article.
It was, when it came out, when the movie came out, transgendered people were upset about it then.
But what they don't understand is that I'm not transgender. And if you watch the movie, Hannibal Lecter says I'm not transgender. I'm just nuts.
Yeah, there's a difference.
I not because of gender or anything. I just saw a mentally unwell person.
Yeah, he was fucked up.
Yeah, because that's what he was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. I wasn't like, oh, it villainizes.
And we know from the book and the movie that,
like, of course not all transgenders are just wearing somebody else's skin.
No, they're right? not. And that's not what the movie's saying at right. all. When Thomas Harris wrote the book, he wasn't like, I can't wait to get these trans people. It's not what he was doing. It was just, that was a vehicle for the craziness of this person. And the reason why he was skinning people is because back then you had to be approved for gender reassignment surgery, but you didn't have to be approved to, you know, live your life as a woman if you decided to.
Or still bitter about it all these years later, huh?
Yes, I am.
It was based off of a lot of people, but one of them being Ed Gein.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was a real person who dabbled in that.
Yes.
Right. But the dabbling that he did had nothing to do with being transgender. Right. It had to do with his psychosis.
I'm going to apologize for Monk. OCD people too much, Monk.
Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat person?
Yeah, she was a big girl, sir.
Sure, you can use my phone.
It's crazy. The guy that owns that house now is turning it into an Airbnb and making it like the movie. He's actually digging a well.
Creepy.
To have him.
Why do you want to stay there?
Who wants to stay? I mean, it's full of bugs flying around and like corpses and bathtubs.
Who would love that?
You know. Damp well.
People are crazy. Well, Ted Levine, you know, thank you for, you know, taking a stand on something that you didn't need to take a stand on. But it's, you know, it's important, I guess, for you.
Yeah, for his career. I mean, you know, if he wants to get that out of the way, great.
Yeah, maybe he had some guilt issues there.
I think people who heard what he said took more from what he said than him saying it.
Yes.
Now I get to make The Hills Have Eyes too, even though I died in the movie.
Spoiler alert.
When I made Mask, I had to apologize for that. Well, now I made Tombstone, and I have to apologize to the Earp family for doing such a crappy job playing one of the Earps. What? He got bit by a rattlesnake.
I couldn't even watch Landman this second season. It was so boring.
He just looks so sad. He's so old. Or he was playing old really well, or he's just that old.
I'm pretty old, and I'll be driving this truck around talking to my son, who's not really much younger than I am.
Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline. Tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner, The Punchline remains Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you're laughing. Coming up this weekend, Sugar Sammy. February 26th, T. Sanders. February 27th, John Heffron. March 4th, Andy Woodhull. And March 5th through 7th, comedian Matt Brauner, who we went and saw last time he was in town. And hopefully we can all go and see him again because he's a very funny guy. Patreon members, remember to keep an eye out for a post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows. March 4th, Andy Woodhull. And March 5th through 7th, comedian Matt Brauner, who we went and saw last time he was in town. And hopefully we can all go and see him again because he's a very funny guy. Patreon members, remember to keep an eye out for a post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows. Speaking of Silence of the Lambs, there's a misunderstood Michael Mann movie called Manhunter, which is the first adaptation of Thomas Harris's novels about Hannibal Lecter. It's from Red Dragon. Apparently, when they made it, Red Dragon, probably they... Oh, no, they'll think it's a Chinese movie. Call it Manhunter. Let's see, William What's-His-Face from CSI.
William Peterson.
Peterson. He plays a very important character in the lore. I'm having a hard time tonight. Thank you.
He plays the Ed Norton character.
Yeah, Ed Norton. Red Dragon movie that there was the remake of this one. But Tom Noonan played this character, the Tooth Fairy, who would he had his grandma's false teeth that he always put in when he'd kill people, and then he'd bite him with it, which is why they could never track him down from that. It was very... I mean, you think Hannibal Lecter is bad and Buffalo Bill is bad? This Tooth Fairy guy is creepy as fuck.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
And then the actor Tom Noonan, who played him, he passed away. He was also in Heat, so he's a favorite of Michael Mann. And he played the nemesis in RoboCop 2, which I think is underrated when it comes to the RoboCop movies. But he was the guy that became the other RoboCop or whatever, and they were doing that drug Nuke, which you put in your neck.
Frank, Benzedrine's got my teeth wiggling. But it was scopolamine. 5 mils per. Yes, sir.
But yeah, I really, at first I didn't really get into it, who's the guy that does the McDonald's commercials who played Hannibal Lecter? Brian Cox played Hannibal Lecter in that movie. And I thought he did a really good job. Of course, there's no Hannibal Lecter other than Anthony Hopkins. Even in that series, what's his face? Vlad.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, Hannibal. Mads. Yeah, that was a cool show, but I think it was a little too cool for school.
Yeah, he was too slick to be Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Of course, we also lost. Who else did we lose? Jesse Jackson, a very prominent figure in our lives growing up. He was always there. Civil rights hero, ran for president twice, called New York town, and then had to apologize. But of course, that led to Eddie Murphy doing very classic bit. If you're old enough to remember that, that was very, very funny. Eddie comes out looking like Jesse and, you know, I'm a Libra. And then he sang the song. I think I was at Jeff's house that night and we died laughing watching that. I pranked Jesse Jackson once, but didn't record it. Do you guys remember when Don Imus said those horrible things about the Rutgers female basketball team?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a friend of mine had Jesse Jackson's cell phone number, so I called it and pretended to be Don Imus. And I didn't think he would answer, so I didn't have it ready to record. And hello.
I went, hey, Jesse.
Yes, who's this?
This is Don Imus.
Oh, hi, Don.
Yeah, I just wanted to apologize to you for, I just got to say I'm sorry for the whole Rutgers basketball thing.
And he's like, okay, man, thank you for, I got to go on TV now, but thank you, I'll talk to you later, and he hung up.
And that would have really been funny is if the interview he was doing on TV was like, I just talked to Don Imus, he apologized.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if he went to his grave thinking Don Imus apologized for that.
I don't know. Probably not. He probably forgot. Well, I don't know. It sounded like him at the time because back then I was doing Don Imus all the time, doing his voice, and he was still alive. People knew who he was. And in case you don't, he was a radio host.
A syndicated radio host who had a ranch where I made little kids come out there and they... You know, my brother Fred, he had buffalo chips, and I missed Don Imus. WNBC.
Who else did we lose? Robert Duvall. Very prolific actor. Everybody loved him. I've never heard anything negative about him, except for the other day when I brought it up to my boss. And he goes, yeah, he was a jerk to us on air. I said, I thought he was nice to us on air. The regular guys interviewed him when he was shooting that movie with Bill Murray in North Georgia. But when he got on, he goes, he didn't know what kind of station it was. And Larry said something like, well, it's a rock station. He goes, oh, so you guys are kind of like Howard Stern. But he didn't mean it as an insult.
Yeah.
But no, my favorite role of his of all time will always be Tom Hagen from The Godfather.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Especially that
scene.
Yeah, that scene where he's out talking to, Waltz, the director.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
I'm German-Irish.
Well, let me tell you something, my Krautmick friend. I'm going to make so much trouble for you, you won't know what to
do. Waltz, come a lawyer.
Almost every.
I have a special practice. I handle one client. Now, you have my number, I'll wait for your call.
My favorite is probably Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah.
You smell that? Napalm, son. Nothing else in the world smells like that. The smell of napalm in the morning.
What was the very first thing that got him on the map?
Boo Radley.
Yeah, Boo Radley.
Yeah.
He played Boo Radley?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. The only thing you'll recognize is his hairline. That's about it.
Yeah.
He's a young kid, but still had the hairline.
And he loved other actors, and he would take less money to be in their films. Like, he's in Sling Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very short role. I mean, there's too many movies that I can't even think about him, but the ones that really stand out for me are The Godfather. Great Santini is a great film, too.
Great Santini was great.
Hard to watch when you're, like, 10, but watching it later. Tender Mercies, isn't he in that? Yeah, he's in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in so many films. And always did a good job. So rest in peace, Robert Duvall and everybody else. All right, let's talk about it. Episode 5, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, In the Name of the Mother, where Sir Duncan the Tall faces off with, you know, the jerks in the Trial of Seven or whatever it was. But what a great...
The Malfoys.
Yeah, the Malfoys.
Yeah.
I think this is the best episode of any Game of Thrones incarnation since season 4 of the original series.
So good.
Yeah. It reminds me of those first few seasons.
So apparently it got like a 9.9 on IMDb.
It did.
It did. And then Breaking Bad fans got pissed.
Oh, they did.
They went in and started rating it like 1 out of 10.
Oh, that's lame.
And brought it down to a 9.8. But some of them not even seeing the show.
Probably most of them not doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so good. I was in tears by the end of it.
Amazing show. Amazing show. The fight scene was great. No spoilers because some people probably haven't seen it yet, but the flashback was done so well going back to Flea Bottom.
It made so much sense why he is the way he is and why he took Dunk in.
Mm-hmm.
And why he was upset that they were hurting Tansel's thing, that he was beating up Tansel.
So only one episode left. So only 6 episodes?
Yeah.
Do we have to wait?
I kind of think he would be a better fighter than he was.
He's not properly trained.
Right.
Baelor said, stay on your horse. And like 2 seconds into the thing, he's off his fucking horse.
Right.
And then he takes his.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times do you think he got stabbed?
A lot.
Yeah, that like was 3 at least.
At least. So
I would say like 7.
Yeah, he got stabbed. And it was brutal to watch. I kept going, stop stabbing him.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like Dunk being like, sir, get up, sir. Get up, sir.
Egg and Dunk. So I'm going to have to read the books. Because I can't wait until I want to know what happens.
I got them on, I got the audiobooks, but I haven't moved past the episode I've seen. But I will tell you that it is so close to the episodes.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
And there's what? How many books are there? Just one or are there 3?
I think there's 3 novellas.
Okay. Cool.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
News.
All right, Jeff, let's do views or snooze.
All right, did Dame watch Cat Williams yet? I still haven't watched it yet.
I did.
Was it funny?
Yes.
It's worth watching.
Yeah, better than the one he did last year or whenever it was.
Yes, because the one he did last year had all of that other stuff hanging over it that was going on in the world that he was trying to bring to light. You know, this one, he's a lot more laid back, but it's more of a victory lap kind of deal.
Yeah. I want to see it kind of post all that Kanye shit.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Good.
And Neighbors, I watched that on HBO Max. That's a pretty good show. It's about all these neighborhood conflicts. It's a lot more in depth than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be kind of like one of those court TV shows where they have the neighbor conflicts, but it's really in depth.
Huh.
So it's a pretty fun show. But this week, my first pick is Strip Law on Netflix. It's a new cartoon with Adam Scott, Stephen Root, Keith David, Joel McHale doing voices about a lawyer in Las Vegas. Teams up with a magician.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty funny. Strip Law. I'm going to watch it to be used.
That's a views.
I'll give it a views.
Shoresy's coming finally.
Nice.
A month later. Then
you've already
the rest
seen
of
it,
the
right?
world. I watched the first one already.
Okay.
I figured I'd wait for the rest.
What's Shoresy?
It's a spinoff of Letterkenny.
Yeah, it's a Letterkenny
about spin-off. Hockey players.
Yeah, Jared Kiso played a character on Letterkenny, but you never see his face. He's always got his back turned or he's always off camera. When you heard him, but he's an integral part of the show because everybody knows him and hates him in the show. Mm. He's a hockey player, and then they spun him off for his own show, and it's Jared Kiso, the guy who plays Wayne on Letterkenny, but he's got his tooth out because he lost his tooth playing hockey in real life. And so with Shorzy, he takes his tooth out, does his Shorzy voice, and it's a great show. I mean, it's as good as Letterkenny, but in a different kind of way. A lot of chirping. If you like hockey chirping, it's great.
I never got into Letterkenny, so I have how many years of stuff that I'd have to watch before this.
They're all so short, though. You could watch all of Letterkenny and all of Shorzy in one day.
Easy. Really? Yeah, there's like how many seasons of Letterkenny? 10?
Something like that, yeah. But yeah, they're so short.
But they're all like six or eight episodes, and they're all like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My nephew made me sit down and watch Letterkenny. He's like, you need to watch this when I was staying the night at his house.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, it was funny, but it is something like it's a lot of dialogue. So it is something you have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All the funny. And it's funny, dialogue.
But it's something you really have to like be focused on.
It's so well written. I mean, it's jokes that just keep coming back and back, and they beat you to death with them. But that's what makes it funny, is all of a sudden after a season or so, you know all the inside jokes, and it just kind of builds on it as it goes on. Kind of like Always Sunny, kind of in a way like that.
You should watch it, Tim, and just pretend that it's Mansfield.
Okay.
Because it's totally like that.
Yeah, it's broken up between the farmers, the drug addicts in town, kind of goth kids, the hockey players, and then the religious people.
Okay.
Those are like the big ones that are constantly going at each other. And the natives. You got the Canadian natives.
Yeah, it's funny.
And then the new Tracy Morgan show, The Rise and Fall of Reggie Dinkins, starts on the 23rd on NBC.
I didn't know Tina Fey had something to do with that, so I'm sure it's good.
This looks really funny.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm glad he's doing something again.
Is this the first thing he's done since 30 Rock?
No, he was on a couple other shows. I think he had a TBS show where he was like a
crime
boss.
That's right. Now, this will be funny.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Jeff. Let's do our staff picks real quick. I already mentioned mine earlier. It's Eddington, the film with that Ari Aster put out. It's a real good movie. Give it a shot. Unless you're triggered by COVID memories.
Yeah, it definitely gives you that and the craziness.
Yep.
Mine is Bottle Rocket. Came out on 4K. So I got that. It was the movie that started the careers of Owen Wilson and Wes Anderson. Luke Wilson has James Caan in it. It's very much like Clerks in that these guys wanted to get into Hollywood. They wrote this script and they shot basically the movie themselves and shopped it around, and they were finally able to get James Caan to sign on with them, and the studio gave him a very small budget, but gave him a chance, and it's a heist movie, but three of the biggest dorks in the world try to do this heist, and they do like training runs, like they go rob one of their own houses, like their own parents' house, just to see if they could do it.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a fun movie.
Mine is Just a Dash on Netflix. Have you guys checked this out?
I saw an ad for it.
This is Matty Matheson from The Bear. His cooking show that he had on YouTube, I guess it's been going for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And they finally moved them all over to Netflix. And I binge-watched the hell out of them. I watched like all three seasons in 2 days. And it's a great show to tide you over until Shorzy comes out, because they're all Canadian dudes.
Yeah.
And they're making this cooking show in his kitchen.
And he's nuts.
You can kind of tell when the bear money starts rolling in.
Really?
Because they like get a big RV and they start doing all these concept episodes.
No, I know who this guy is. I watch him on TikTok.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And the bowl he has at KFC is really good, too.
Lizzie, you got one?
Not really, but I have been watching a lot of the Olympics every night. So.
Did you see the big blow-up between Canada?
Was it Canada? Was it Norway? Or was it Canada? Sweden?
Sweden, I think.
Yeah. Touching the...
Back the fuck off.
Touching the curling rock.
Yeah.
The Olympics are rigged.
The hog line. Yeah, why do you think they're rigged?
Just so we have a good title for this week's episode.
Right. What was your favorite thing so far?
The penis injections.
I like that. the penis injections. Probably the skating. I get really excited about the skating.
I was excited that that anti-Trump girl did so poorly and didn't win anything.
No, dude, that was so sad.
I was happy. I was laughing watching her eat it.
She didn't even eat it. She just didn't do a triple, like, she didn't do a triple toe loop or a triple, like she didn't even eat it. She just, like, messed up a little bit in her performance that lost her, like, a point.
Because of the TDS.
She should have done a triple Lindy.
Yeah.
What's that?
Ilya Malin. Yeah, I got to watch the movie. India Malin and what is his name?
Ilya Malin.
Yeah, he did eat it, but I thought he would win the gold and he didn't.
That was super sad too. Here's the thing, like these kids, they're like all on social media during this.
Mhm.
Yeah.
So you've got that pressure, then you've got that extra pressure that, like, stay off of that crap.
That shit away.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You don't need it.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, your local family-owned pizzeria and the place to get local craft beer and great food that's always made fresh to order. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Now, I've been trying to explain to my son why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, but he's not getting it. Why would they want to stay with their families? The food truck is once again on winter break, but probably in early March, it'll come out of break. Give us a call if you have a corporate or private event that you're interested in possibly booking. As always, we thank you for your continued support and for listening to the absolute best podcast around, Radio Labyrinth. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. Skankfest used us to promote their volunteer signups the other day on X. They said, can't afford to go to Skankfest? Just volunteer and come for free. Skankfest X, presented by Yo Kratom, November 3rd through 15th in New Orleans. And they put a clip of our episode with George Clark talking about his experience there. And it says, clip from the Radio Labyrinth podcast. So that was nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Cool.
And we did have a couple comments on YouTube last week. Mark says, I appreciate the positive vibes your podcast gives its listeners. Too often I hear negative stories and events coming from the Atlanta region. Just heard of a radio personality who was caught sitting under playground sets in public parks staring up at little shorts. I got to look into that. I don't know who that could be that did that. Oh, Mark. And then Fuxi says, I didn't care for the Black House, but I'll pick up the other worlds.
Yeah, The Talisman is my favorite Stephen King book, and The Black House was kind of a disappointment.
Yeah.
But I was glad that they continued the story.
Oh, yeah.
I like the characters, so I'm okay with it, but I wish it would have been more territories.
Well, we're going to get a lot of territories when that book comes out, so... Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard.
No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great.
And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker. And for the executive producers, we'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show, and you help us keep it going with your generous donations, and we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer, that's your title, and you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout-out on the show, plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column. Pat Squatch Talk Turner, and I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner. Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. Good show, guys. Remember to like, rate, and review us on Spotify. Not Instagram. Well, you can on Instagram. You can put whatever you want out. I don't really care. iTunes and all that jazz, please. And always remember to subscribe on YouTube and like our videos and have a little conversation with each other at the bottom. Subscribe to the channel, even if you listen to it on Podcatcher. All right, well, wherever you find us, we thank you for finding us. And until next week, please remember to keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.